And Father, we just come to you tonight in the mighty name of Jesus, asking for your forgiveness, for your mercies, and your grace. Repenting for every sin, transgression, and iniquity. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Repenting for touching anything unclean and everything that we've done that's offended you. Wash us with the blood of Christ. Heal us with the stripes of Christ. And fill us with your Spirit as we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come, take your rightful place. Fill us afresh. Bring us to the throne room of our Father. And establish your kingdom in us and through us. Let the anointing break every yoke of bondage. Remove the scales from the eyes, the hardening from the heart, and the deafness from the ears, that we may hear what the Spirit says. And Lord, tonight we pray for Haiti. We ask, Lord, that those who are still alive and entrapped, Lord, that you would send a beacon for them, that you'd dispatch your angels to wherever they are and breathe fresh oxygen, that you would feed them and grant them water, that you would sustain them, Lord, until they are rescued. And Lord, those who have been rescued, Lord, that you would grant them refuge. Refuge, Lord. Hiding place with you. And those children have lost parents and so forth, that you would send those who are qualified to be adopted parents according to your will to adopt these children. Father, we intercede for Haiti. We repent for the sins of their forefathers and break the curse, that they may be blessed instead of cursed. That you continue to draw them to you, that you protect your missionaries there, and that your people will be a light and turn those away from deception, from darkness and false religion, into the way, truth, and life of Jesus the Christ. Now, Holy Spirit, we commit this to you. Come teach us. Come establish us and come perfect us for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly favored. Yes, you are. You know, one of the things that we've been talking about is the difference between knowing God, hearing about him, or just meeting him. Most people have just heard about him, read about him, met him, but never know him. And it is a time to really know him. Know him. And that's one of the ploys of the enemy, is to prevent you from knowing God. Because if you know him, you carry the fear of the Lord, which is reverence, honor, and respect, if you know him. And those who really know him are sold out. They're willing to do whatever it takes. But you may think you know God, but don't know him. Because unless you're sold out, you don't know him. You might know about him. He might have touched you. You might have met him. But there's a difference in knowing him. Would you turn to Genesis chapter 3? Genesis chapter 3. Now, Lucifer was one of the archangels with Gabriel and Michael. Michael was a warrior. Gabriel was a messenger. And Lucifer was the praise and worship leader of the universe. And Lucifer, being the praise and worship leader of the universe, had a third of the angels underneath him. And each one had a third of the angels. And because of Lucifer's pride, which we'll get to here in a minute, God removed Lucifer from his position. And he sentenced him to the earth and its atmosphere. And by sentencing him to the earth and its atmosphere, then he brought Adam and Eve in, who held Lucifer. They had the keys. Lucifer was no longer the angel of light. He was considered to be a serpent. And I want you to look at Lucifer as a serpent that was standing upright. And I want you to look at him as chained to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He was caged. Adam and Eve had the keys. And the only way for Lucifer to come out of there was to convince someone to let him out. Are you listening? In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, it says the what? Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. It is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. In other words, he called God a liar. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now I want you to understand something which is important. First of all, they were, Adam and Eve were eternal beings. They were not to die. They were created forever. But the Lord warned them that if you let Lucifer out, if you eat of that tree, you're going to let that serpent out, and you're going to come under his authority. Because right now I've given you authority over him. So there was the serpent chained to the tree. He was on house arrest. And he kept trying to convince the woman every time. See, he didn't do it with Adam there because Adam would have shut him up. He waited for Adam to be out of the way for the Eve to come by. And he convinced her. He got her attention. And there was something that she said that she saw. First of all, she tried to convince the serpent that if she even touched it, that she would die, but she was still willing to listen. So she knew that there could be a problem, but he deceived her. One of the things he was trying to tell her is that God was holding something back from her that would make her like God. So everybody got it. And it's powerful because it says when a woman, in verse 6, when a woman saw that the tree was good for food, in other words, now God was not her provider. She was looking at this tree as provision. And that it was pleasant to the eyes, so she saw something that was more beautiful to her. And it was a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it. Now in this, it says that it was a desire to make one wise. In other words, it was a desire to make one wise like God. So she wanted it because it was giving her a desire. In other words, there would be a desire there to, if she took this, she was convinced that she would be like God if she ate of it. She was also convinced that what the serpent said is that God is holding something back from you. So when she took of it, she became blind to the things of the spirit realm and no longer was able to see the serpent. She was no longer able to see God. That's why you and I are born into this natural realm blinded to the things of the spirit. That's why you must be born again, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the scales are taken from your eyes, or else you stay stinky religious. Hello. Now again, I want to share with you that it was a desire to make one wise like God, but it wouldn't make one wise like God. Are you listening? And this is called what was happening when Eve ate of it. What she was looking for is intellectual, more things. But this is called intellectual pride that will prevent the wisdom of God to prevail in their life. Are you listening? So when she took of it and she ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was knowledge of good and evil, God never intended them or was not going to hold back from them knowing good and evil, but he did not want them to become good and evil. He wanted them to stay righteous and eternal. So when they ate of it, they died. I mean, they were sentenced to death now. And now what had happened, what was instilled in her was intellectual pride. That one, from that day forward, prevent her and mankind from receiving the wisdom of God to prevail in their lives, which caused blindness to the things of the Spirit and promoted the works of self or flesh from that day forward. Is everybody okay? Hello? Go to Galatians 3. So at one time they were in the spirit, now they are in the flesh. Intellectual pride. In Galatians chapter 3. In this intellectual pride, one of the areas is where an individual's opinion is above the Word of God. Anybody whose opinion is above the Word of God is associated with intellectual pride. Pride is a personal reverence into a deadly end. P-R-I-D-E. In Galatians 3 and verse 1, let's read it. Now, I want you to get this because these letters that we're reading right now, these books like the Galatians and so, these were written to believers, not unbelievers. They were written to those who supposedly were believers. And Paul writes them, he says, "O foolish Galatians," he's writing to the church of Galilee, "who has what? Bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly betrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" That's exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. They started in the Spirit, and now from that point on, trying to perfect themselves in the flesh. "Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham." So that means only those who are of the faith. Faith is a representation of able to spiritually see. Faith is not blind. It's to be spiritually, you are able to spiritually see. So they began in a spirit. They got moved out of the spirit by intellectual pride. Desire to be made perfect in the flesh. They were bewitched, walking by sight, accomplishments, and intellect of worldliness. A person that is street smart is no different than that one who is a Wall Street professional of intellectual pride, which has bewitched. Are you listening? They have been bewitched. Now, this bewitchment means influenced by demonic forces. Is everybody okay? So a person that might be a streetwise person is no different than one who works for Wall Street or anyone else associated with intellectual pride. It is still pride. They pride themselves on their accomplishments. They walk by sight and not by faith. They go to schools to learn, and learn, and never come to the knowledge of the truth. They are bound to this realm because of intellectual pride. They believe that their intelligence is going to rescue them, but it's actually going to kill them. Ezekiel 28. Do you remember when we talked about the wisdom of God using the wisdom of the world? See, the wisdom of the world is not to use you. The wisdom of God within you is to use the wisdom of the world to work for you. But many people, because of intellectual pride, the wisdom of the world is using them. And they are bound to this realm. In Ezekiel 28, in verse 11, now he's talking about Lucifer. He says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. And say to him, Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection." Well, there was no human, the seal of perfection, was there? Except for Jesus. "Full of what? Wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in what? Eden, the Garden of Eden. the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, topaz, and diamond, brille, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. Why was he clothed with these? Because he was there when he saw God create everything. These are the precious jewels of the earth. The earth at that time was known as the mountain of God. It was utilized for the praise and worship to the universe. Lucifer was the praise and worship leader. Look at the next verse. The workmanship of your what? Timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed what? Cherub. Well, there's no human that's an anointed cherub. Who covers, in other words, Lucifer was used to cover the universe with praise and worship. He said, I establish you. You are on the holy mountain of God. That was the earth at that time. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. In other words, he saw God create everything. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you, and that was called pride. Pride. Does everybody see this? By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you what? Sinned. Therefore, I'll cast you out as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. So we see that the serpent that was in the garden, that was chained to the tree, he was caged in the garden. He had wisdom and beauty and intellectual pride. Intellectual pride. Go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Verse 12. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. Would you read it with me? How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. In other words, he was proclaiming himself as God. Many people do that today. Because if you put your opinion above the Word of God, you're proclaiming yourself as God. And here's the response of the Lord. He said, you shall be brought down to hell. So there's six things that God says he's going to do to him. Six meaning man, because he's going to treat him just like a man. The first thing he says, I'm going to cast you to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. And those who see you will what? Gaze you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble? So the second thing he's going to do is make him a spectacle. The third thing he's going to do is allow people to talk about him. Who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners. All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house. But you are cast out of your grave. In other words, he will cast them out of his grave. Like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain. Oh, yeah. Thrust through with the sword, who go down to the stones of the pit like a corpse trodden underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial. In other words, he will be alone. That will be the fifth thing. Because you have destroyed your land and slain your people, the brood of evildoers shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children. In other words, he will destroy his offsprings, because Satan has offsprings. Because of the iniquity of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities. So we see something very powerful. We see the intellectual pride decree. In other words, he was decreeing, I will be like the Most, I will be above. I will. He was decreeing its selfish ambitions. So intellectual pride decreeing its selfish ambitions. And of course, the Lord responded with him with his six decrees that's going to happen to him. He would treat him like a man. Go to Ezekiel 28 again. And when we read in the first part of Ezekiel, the Lord was speaking to the king of Tyre, which is a representation of Satan. And now he's going to speak to the prince of Tyre, which is a representation of the spirit of Satan. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying in verse 1, O son of man, say to the prince of Tyre. Who's the prince of Tyre? He's the prince of power of air. Thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up and you say, I am a what? A god. I sit in the seat of gods in the midst of the seas. Yet you are a man and not a god. Though you set your heart as the heart of a god. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasures. By your great wisdom and trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have set your heart as a heart of a god, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers against you, the most terrible of nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They shall throw you down into the pit, and you shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the seas. You will still say before him who slays you, I am a god, but you shall be a man and not a god. This is when Satan comes into the flesh. In the hand of him who slays you, you shall die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of aliens. For I have spoken, says the Lord God. So we see the prince of power over air associated with the prince, which is associated with the spirit of Lucifer or Satan. He was treated like a man. Are you listening? In other words, he was sent to hell, treated like a man. Is everybody okay? Why? Because intellectual pride. Intellect. Go to Proverbs 13. Anybody putting their opinion above the things of God is intellectually prideful and is in deep trouble. Proverbs 13. We're just laying the foundation here to get to what's got to be given. In verse 10, it says what? By pride comes nothing but strife. But with the well-advised is what? Wisdom. Pride causes strife. In other words, it's argument of who's right. In verse 20. He who walks with the wise men will be what? Wise. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. In other words, you walk with well-advised, godly people. Well, will help you discern spiritually, but fools will be destroyed because of intellectual pride. They think they know it all. You know, you hear about people going into think tanks. They need to go in their prayer closet and get what's from above instead of what's from beneath. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It blows my mind. Yeah, they're in the think. They got big, and people get paid to think. I think that's what causes storms. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Maybe earthquakes too. Second Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Would you read it with me? For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise because they are intellectually pride. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God has appointed us. In other words, He has set limitations. a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishments. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Self-boasting or self-promotion. There are boundaries of limitation that are set by the Lord that are offensive to him and approved of him. In other words, they take his glory instead of giving him glory. James 3. James chapter 3. You know, the Spirit always gives us things that are needed to combat. This is an area where the powers of darkness are moving greatly. And intellectual pride. In fact, it's causing many believers to backslide and go back into the world. Some of them are still taken captive in the world because of intellectual pride. In James 3, in verse 13, would you read it with me, please? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. It is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So we see that this wisdom that he's talking about associated with intellectual pride is earthly and demonic. It is established from the serpent of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. We were born with it. We were born with this intellectual pride. From the moment you were able to breathe and so forth, you were always hearing you must be somebody. You must learn. This is where people are always learning, 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 and never come to the knowledge of truth because they're so caught up intellectually with intellectual pride, they can't grasp hold of the things of the Spirit, and they stay captive in this realm. They go to schools. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with going to college and stuff. But your accomplishments are not to bring glory to you. Your accomplishments are to bring glory to God. If they bring glory to you, this is what I've done, this is what I've learned, then your intellectual pride in the serpent is leading you. And you will die in this realm. But thank God, he's got a way of escape for us. Go to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Intellectual pride. In verse 1, Daniel received a prophecy from the Lord. The Lord shared with him about the prophecy of the end time. In verse 1 it says, "And at that time Michael, who is the archangel, shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book." And that's called the book of life. Remember, those who are in the book of life Everybody's name is written in the book of life. But when you die, it's either left there or taken out. That's why children go to heaven when they die. There's an age of accountability. But the Bible says only those who do the will of God, not good people, only those who do the will of God will enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because the other ones still are eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and intellectual pride is preventing them from doing the will of God. In verse 2, and many of those who sleep in the dust who are dead of the earth shall awake, and the Lord will rise them up. And some will go to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. In other words, some will go to heaven, and some will go to hell. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Now, I want you to understand that he's saying towards the end, knowledge is going to increase. How many of y'all know that technology has increased tremendously? Tremendous technology has increased. That's intellectual pride. So he said knowledge will increase, the knowledge of the truth of God, right? Intellectual knowledge will increase, and godly revelation knowledge will increase. This country is in operation with intellectual knowledge right now. They are in operation with intellectual knowledge. It is run by intellects, non-fearing individuals of God. And the Bible tells us that pride goes before a fall. And we're in a lot of trouble financially and everything else because of intellectual pride. They can't calculate us out of this. Only God can rescue us. Their calculations have gotten us in this. They've been in the think tanks too long. They need to get in the prayer closet. This country is in operation with intellectual knowledge. They learn, but yet never come to the knowledge or revelation of God. They're always taking His glory and misleading people into captivity with theories and false hopes, putting their trust in men and not in God. The Bible says, blessed is the man who trusts the Lord, and cursed is the man who trusts in man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, intellectual pride. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. That's why God says many, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, spiritual understanding. People still go in the same cycles or sets of limitations on them. Because the powers of darkness are there to steal, kill, and destroy. You cannot escape the devil. You must turn around and fight him. You must face the devil yourself face to face. See, intellectual pride is the area where somebody has knowledge. Now listen, that can happen to believers too. They can get so puffed up because of what they know and lose sight. Intellectual pride will blind you every time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, would you read it with me? Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge what? Puffs up. But love what? Edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there is a so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, and He's the true God, the Father, of whom all things, and we for Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things, and through Him we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. Not everybody knows this. For some with consciousness of the idol until now eat it as a thing of offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat, we the worse. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. See, intellectual pride will lose sight of others watching them. They become a stumbling block to others doing things they shouldn't be doing, or even if it's things that are not edifying, but it might be okay. They become a stumbling block because of intellectual pride. Well, I know it. I got this. I've made it. I've done this. I've done that. Well, I can do this, and I don't care what this person thinks of me. I can do this. No, that's intellectual pride. You become a stumbling block to someone, the blood is on your hands. Hello? Does everybody get it? In verse 10, for if anyone sees you who has knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not that conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. That's called intellectual pride. And let me share with you one of the things. Cigarettes is one of them. There you got a person that's calling himself a believer and they're still huffing. Hello? You got a person calling himself a believer and they're still going to movies that they should not put in their eyes. That is a stumbling block to someone. Because they're really not a believer. The word believe means to follow. If you claim you're a believer and not a follower, you're a liar. And God does not look at you as a believer. He looks at you as his enemy because you become a friend of the world, and anyone who's a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Enemy to God. Is everybody okay? Knowledge of truth can puff you up and cause a stumbling block to your brethren because he may not understand yet. So be wise in an example of the knowledge granted, not in pride, but in humility. One of the things that we always warn people that come into our discipleship houses, because you get a lot of knowledge very quickly, you better be careful of pride, because it will puff you up. Amen. It will move you out of position of knowing him and trusting in what you know instead of trusting in who you know. In 1 Timothy chapter 3. So you can see this intellectual pride in this country exalting itself tremendously. You watch it on the news every day. They make false promises. They got all these theories and all of these things. But they can't get themselves out of it. It just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Is everybody there? This is a faithful saying. If a man desires a position of a bishop, he desires a good work. In other words, somebody desiring to become an authority in the kingdom. But a bishop then must be blameless, a husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, good behavior, hospital, and able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, and not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, not experienced. There are many people who go to educational things and learn things but never experience it. In fact, they stay in school their whole life, and that's all they can do. They go to school, they stay in school, they learn what they're getting from school, and then they begin to teach it and never experience it. And they call themselves professors. They're idiots. Why? Because if you don't know the things of God, you're an idiot. And the word idiot means spiritually blind. So don't get offended. Repent. Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Desire to serve, better have the right motive, and you better be sent and not self-promotive. Philippians chapter 2, intellectual pride. Everybody okay? Are you getting this? This is one of the move the powers of darkness right now. You see it rampant, tremendously. I mean, it's screaming out everywhere. Intellectual pride. Philippians chapter 2, is everybody there? In verse 1, would you read it with me? Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love and being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through what? Selfish ambitions or conceit, but in lowliness and mind of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in a form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking a form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 17, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. You know, one of the things about the more you know God, the more you really know you don't know nothing. Because he's too big. He's just too big. And it's like the more you know, and Jesus says something very powerful. He says, I don't come in my doctrine, I come in the doctrine of my Father. I love it because when we minister in the jail, we just show up. I don't go with anything set because I know the Holy Spirit's going to show. I don't want to set anything. And when the Holy Spirit shows up, man, just stuff comes flying out. And it's like I'm being ministered just like with everyone else there. And hearts are changing, conviction, healing, whatever it may be. Because I'm not going in there with my doctrine. I don't have one. But I go in with his doctrine. And whatever he chooses to speak at that time is what people need. Now, he can tell us things to come, can he? So about a couple hours before service tonight, this is what he told me to bring. And then I bring it. Now it can change. Now my notes don't always stay. In fact, sometimes you can't even read them. I can't read them. But the Holy Spirit knows. So if you're in this room tonight, he wants this message for you because he doesn't want you to lose you. He doesn't want you to have your opinion above his because he knows better. You know, he is God and we are not. In verse 17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let him do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on what? Eternal life. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. In Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. That's why Jesus said something powerful. He said, come to me and learn from me. Come to me and learn from me. If you're not willing to come to him and learn from him, it's because your intellectual pride is preventing you. And if you have intellectual pride, it means you have demons living in you, speaking to you, and misleading you. And they'll do everything they can for you never to get the knowledge of the truth. They'll try to convince you to go learn so many other things and be fulfilled with intellect of the world and never be fulfilled with the presence of God. That's why people turn to drugs and alcohol and sex and so forth. Because they can't get fulfilled. So they look to the things of the world for fulfillment. And they can't do the will of God. Because the will of God takes denying yourself from the world. He says, come out from the world and be separate. Then I'll be a father to you. Don't touch what is unclean. That doesn't mean you become religious. It means you get a relationship with the Father. You learn. You get involved. You get in fellowship. You learn how to fight. If you don't know how to fight spiritually, if you can't make what is unseen to become seen in your life, you will always be deceived. And then for some people, it's already too late. It's already too late. They're already gone. And there's not one unbeliever in hell. Everyone that is there right now is a believer. But it's too late. Romans 1:18. Would you read it with me, please? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, he's saying the world is without excuse. Well, I'm an atheist. Well, you're an idiot. That's still a religion, you know. It doesn't matter. Everybody's going to stand before God. Nobody escapes that day. Nobody. Everybody will be accountable. Everything that you've done will be written in the book of remembrance. No matter what. Unless you have repented and it's under the blood, then it will not be seen. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were what? Darkened. Come on, follow along. Professing to be what? Wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men and birds, four-footed animals and creeping things and stars and everything else. And stones and in crystals and all of these things, which actually are cursed items because they consider them as idols. They think that there's a connection between them and God. The only connection between you and God is the blood of Christ and the Spirit of Christ. Nothing else. Of course, unless somebody lays hands on you and casts out that devil. Hallelujah. 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image and made like corruptible men and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the what? Creator. In other words, they began to worship God's creation instead of the creator. So they began to worship the stones, the stars, the moon, the idols, the fishies and the whales and all the other stuff. In verse 26, For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves a penalty of their error, which was due. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. In other words, anyone who approves it is still going to die. Are you listening? Well, I've got friends that are, you know, sexual, you know, Joe and Tommy and Lucy and Sally, you know, they're living together. And we just hang out together and we just have a good time, be unevenly yoked. Do not, hello? They are not friends. I don't have friends. I have brothers and sisters. I don't have friends. I have brothers and sisters. Why? Because they're the ones that do the will of God. Anyone who's a friend and does the will of the world is an enemy to my Father and an enemy to me. But I will not treat them like an enemy. Hello? But I'm not hanging around with them. Does everybody understand that? They are not my friends. Believers do not have friends. They are part of an eternal family. They have brothers and sisters, not friends. Even when Judas came up to Jesus, what did he say? Friend. Why? Because he knew he betrayed him. Friends will always betray you. Brothers and sisters won't in Christ. Hopefully. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3. Well, if they fall into intellectual pride, are they going to betray you? Yes. See, one of the things that intellectual pride does is it begins to remove the fear of God. Then people use God instead of letting God use them. They think they're using God anyways. Proverbs chapter 3. Is everybody there in verse 1? My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, in other words, his correction, nor detest his correction, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Hallelujah. You know, many people want to run from God instead of run to him. So when conviction comes, they run away from him because they don't know him. They don't know him. They might have met him, they might have heard about him, but they don't know him. But God wants you to know him, especially in this area right now where we're at, in this time of season where things are crazy out there, where intellectual pride reeks everywhere you go. People boasting of their degrees, boasting of their accomplishments, boasting of who they are. You don't have to boast, and you don't have to prove yourself. You be a son and daughter, and God will prove you. I'm going to close at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be what? Submissive to one another and be clothed with what? Humility, humbleness. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon Him, for He cares for you. See, He's going to exalt you in due time. You don't need to exalt yourself. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may but devour, and searching those who have intellectual pride. He's looking for you. But you can overcome him. Maintain a place of humbleness. Stay filled with the Spirit and learn to fight. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. That's a requirement, isn't it? Amen? Be careful. Never put your opinion above the Word of God. Never. Stay humble, stay submissive, cast your cares, quit trying to fix everything yourself. And always give glory to Him in everything. Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We are honored and blessed, and we thank You for revealing Satan's tactic. And we repent in any area, Lord, where we have come in agreement with intellectual pride and puffed ourselves up instead of humbled ourselves. We take dominion and we cast that down. We command that spirit to loosen, to leave us and go to the pit. And we ask that You cloak us with humility, fill us with Your Spirit, and remove every hardened heart from each and every one here tonight, that we may be submissive to do Your will and not our own, and that You may be glorified in everything that has been accomplished through Your people and through Your body. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.